Hey, would you please help me welcome all of our locations and extension services right now? Let's all put our hands together and want to say hello to you guys and everyone attending in the annex as well. We're so glad that you're with us here at Celebration Church today. Many of our locations are live right now, so we want to welcome you. You know, we're in a pretty heavy series we've entitled Pornea. And last weekend, we kicked off the series, and we talked about a few things. I'm not going to have time to review all the things we talked about, but this is one of those series where kind of 1 week sets up the next. So I encourage you either go online and listen to it for free or get the CD or the DVD or the resource somehow so you can kind of catch up. And once again, today we'll be talking about some things. I'll leave some things unsaid and I'll leave some things unqualified. And you're going to have to come back next week to kind of connect the dots there as well. But, you know, we talked about, first of all, that word pornea, that all of our English words that we have, you know, sexual immorality or, you know, fornication. And we know, you know, a lot of the world makes fun of that word, you know, fornication or whatever. But really, all those words in the Greek, the root word is pornea, where we get our modern day word, what? Porn. And so it's all porn. It doesn't matter if you call it sexual immorality or you call it fornication or you call it porn or you call it triple X or you call it adult or whatever. It's all sin. It's all outside of God's will. It all destroys us. It's all porn. And so that's what the series is about. And last week we talked about, you know, the terrible truth that triple X has now gone triple A. That there used to be, you know, back in the day, there were boundaries that it wasn't totally accessible. It wasn't totally affordable. You know, you'd have to pay something for it. And you couldn't be completely anonymous. But now with the internet and some of the other social media, now pornography, triple X, has gone triple A. It's completely affordable. It's completely accessible. And you can do it while remaining totally anonymous. And the entire world is under what I call a porn storm. It is a storm of porn, and the enemy knows this, just like we looked at last weekend. It's the only sin that actually destroys the human body. It's the only sin that actually tears away at the soul, and the statistics are out there are just staggering. You know, 70% of all men access porn regularly. Now it's over 30% of women access porn regularly. And then, of course, the most disturbing statistic was with our youth and with our young people. And that's why I've asked all of our middle school students to stay in this morning. And that is, statistics say that every young person between the ages of 8 and 16, that 90% of young people between the ages of 8 and 16 have seen pornographic material online. That's a disturbing statistic. But you know what? We don't have to be part of those statistics. And if we've been part of those statistics, I talked a lot about my past last weekend. If we've been part of those statistics, we don't have to be part of those statistics any longer. Can I have a good amen to that? And I want to say this right now. This is really important you understand about this series. This series, if you've received Jesus and Jesus is your Lord, this series is not about forgiveness. God forgives you of all of your sins. You are on your way to heaven. Jesus loves you. This series is not about forgiveness. This series is about freedom. It's about getting free from this stuff so the life of God can well up on the inside of you and you can be the person who God's called you to be. And we talked about last week, looked at the primary function of our bodies. We were not created just to be sex machines. You remember the song, don't you? Ding, 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 ding. I'm just a love machine, and nobody but. You aren't just a love machine. You aren't just a sex machine. Now, sex is a very, very powerful desire, and we're going to talk about that. But primarily, you were created, we all were created, the human body primarily was designed to be a temple for God, to be a dwelling place for God. And if you don't understand that, it's going to be hard to connect the dots on anything else and really access power to be sexually free. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And when you understand that the Spirit of the Lord is dwelling on the inside of you, there is a liberty or there is a freedom that will arise on the inside of you that will free you from the things that have you bound. But you've got to believe that. You've got to know that we all have a nature that is inclined to sin. But when you receive Christ, you have a new nature that is inclined to obey God. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And you can be free from sexual sin. Look, there might be 70% of men accessing porn, but guess what? There's 30% of men who are not. There's 65% of women who are not. And even if you have been, from this day forward, let's make a clean break and let's be the chosen generation that God's called us to be. Young person, you are not missing out on anything. The only thing you're missing out on is shame and fear and guilt and regret. You keep yourself sexually free and you have the great sex life that God wants you to have. But we are in a porn storm, and it's, it's like, you talk about an inconvenient truth. Hey, I've got an inconvenient truth for Al Gore. Let's stop worrying so much about global warming and let's start worrying about global porning. How about that one? Because if we don't start being concerned and stopping global porning, we're not going to be around to experience any global warming if it's out there at all. Now, hold on. Before you get mad, listen, I'm pro-environment. I recycle. Animal Planet is one of my favorite networks. I'm for the polar bear. I want to save the polar bear. I want his ice just at the right temperature. I do not him want having to weeble wobble balance because some of that ice is melting. I'm pro polar bear. I'm pro whale. But I'm also pro human, and pornography is destroying us. I'm just saying. Let's be concerned about the things that are destroying us right now as human beings as well. So today I want to talk to you. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 3. Actually, I'm going to start reading in verse 22. And we're just going to do a little Bible study today. Is that okay? I want to do a little Bible study. I want to unpack some things here. I want to look at, and if you have your notes, you can take them out and hopefully you received some fill in the blanks when you came in. And if you have your Bibles, go over to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to look at that. And what I want to look at today is, why is it that the temptation of sexual sin, why is it so powerful? What is it about sexual temptation that seems to make it such a much more appealing or powerful temptation than anything else? That's why it's the number one thing that our media uses. You hear it, what? Sex sells. You go in the town center today. You almost anywhere you go, it is going to have something provocative, something sexual, something that is appealing to the eye because sex sells. And there is something about sexual temptation that separates it from the other temptations. And that's what we're going to look at today. What is it about that forbidden fruit that the lure seems so powerful? What is it? Why is sexual temptation so, so powerful? And we're going to see that here in Genesis chapter 3, or the principle of that. First of all, let me begin here in verse 22, right before chapter 3. And it says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept, and he took out one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man, and Adam said, 'Now this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined.'" Everybody say joined. "Joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Now, this is one of the powerful things about sex, this word "join" here. It's not only a joining of the spirit, but also a joining of the soul, and it's also a joining of the physical bodies, okay? The glory of God, in the image of God, God created us male and female. But the glory of God cannot be contained in one gender. So when man and woman come together in marriage and they consummate that marriage and they have physical intimacy, it is the only time where you see, so to speak, in bodily form, the joining there. It's the full expression of the glory of God. That's why it says that they'll be joined together, husband and wife, and the two will become one flesh. They'll become one temple. We are body, soul, and spirit. The Holy Spirit's on the inside of us. They will be joined together spiritually, soulishly, and physically. We talked about that last weekend, and then it goes on to say, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. So here's what the language is implying here. This is before any sin, Adam and Eve in the garden, all the plants and it was like unbelievable resort place. They were naked. They were having physical intimacy. They were having sex, physical intimacy here in the garden, enjoying all the trees and all. I mean, life was good. God had given them everything. I mean, you talk about Adam, he was fired up, man. Because for a while he saw those animals coming by. He's like, man, none of these are going to do, God. And the first time you see in the creation story in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 is when God looks at Adam and he says, you need help. Help a brother out. And he creates woman, and there's this beautiful coming together of both of them. And they're in the garden and everything is going great. Life is good. Now God has told them a couple of things. First of all, he told them, look, I've created this garden. It's for all of you. Everything that I've created is for you. But there's two trees, and there's one tree in particular you need to know about. Okay, first of all, there's the tree of life that's in there. Represents the life of God and the goodness of God and all that they can enjoy. And then there's all these other trees and plants that we don't know about, great food and all this kind of stuff. God created one tree, though, and he says, look, there is one tree in this garden. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now listen, it was not an apple tree, okay? Contrary to popular belief. It was a tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, and it did have some type of fruit. And God said, look, there's this one tree. Everything else, guys, enjoy to the full. Enjoy one another. Enjoy everything I've given you. But there's one tree, and I need you to trust me on this. I don't want you to partake of it. And God was implying. He's saying, look, you're not missing out on anything. It's just one tree. Look at all the other things that you have here. Look what I've given you. Husband and wife, and of course, a future family and all this. But you know what the enemy does? He's always going to come at you with what you don't have. So this is what happens in Genesis chapter 3. He says, look, now the serpent, this is representing Satan, he says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So let me paraphrase this a little bit. Satan comes to Eve, and he basically says this. He says, look, Eve, that's great. You're having full reign on all these other trees and everything. But that tree over there, you are missing out. There's an experience that that tree can give you that none of these other trees can. And Eve, you really need to consider it, because really God, he's kind of holding out on you. And I know he said, you know, you can have all this stuff, but that tree over there, there is something about that tree. It's gonna open you. You're gonna have an experience, Eve, and that tree will satisfy you in a way that none of the other trees can. And that tree will satisfy you in a way that even Adam can't. And that tree will satisfy you in a way. You'll have this experience, and I promise you, after that experience, you will be so glad. Your eyes will be opened. Your curiosity will be satisfied. He doesn't say you need to eat of it. He just says, just satisfy your curiosity. Look, God is holding out on you. So look what happens here in verse 6. It says, So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. Let me stop right there before I go on. You notice what's going on here? Until right here in verse 6, Adam's right there with her. I mean, we don't know if he's by her side. We don't know if he's 10 feet away. I mean, they're right there together. And the Bible says for the first time here, look, Eve, she really checks the tree out. In other words, she gives it a good look. She checks out the fruit. Oh yeah, that would be good to eat. She really checks out how it looks. She begins to contemplate. Before this time right here, she had just chosen to trust God and life was good. She hadn't even really seriously checked. And this is the first step that the enemy wants you to take when it comes to the forbidden fruit of sexual immorality. Come on, just give it a good checkout. Just look, you might not have to go to that next level. You might not have to click all the way through into that website. You might not, you know, just talk to her. Just hang out at the water cooler bar. Just look a little bit at this movie. Just give it a good checkout. It's like David. Remember David and Bathsheba? You know what got David in trouble? Because he went out on his roof. He was the king. He had the highest roof in the entire city. He went outside during bathing time. What is he checking out? What does he do? He goes out on his roof. It's sunset. That was bath time. That's when the women would come out and bathe on the top of their roofs. What you doing, David? He goes out on his roof, and sure enough, during bath time, there is Bathsheba. She was in the bath. Bathsheba bubbles. A bubble bath. But what if David would have just stayed inside? See, here's the first step of seduction and the forbid. He just wants you to give it a good checkout. You don't have to go there. She didn't eat of the fruit. But here's what happened here. And this is why you're going to eventually see why, like original sin, is sexual temptation so powerful. Let me unpack these three things for you. First of all, it appealed to the lust of the flesh. The first thing that Eve checked out was it was good for food. I like, man, that fruit looks good. I want some of that. That's going to satisfy me. In the same way, sexual sin, you know what, sex, because it is a God-given natural desire, it makes us so prone. It's one of the ways, not the only way, it makes us so prone to temptation. You know, they say for the needs that a human body has, the first need is oxygen. The second need is water. The third need is food. And the fourth need is sex. That's pretty important. I know some of you guys are shocked. You thought sex was right after oxygen. It's not. But there's a big, big difference. And this is what we looked at last week when the Apostle Paul was talking to the Corinthian culture when they were just throwing sex in there with food. They're saying, look, we're hungry, so one night I have pizza, and the next night I'm hungry and I have steak, and the next night I'm hungry and I have whatever, chicken nuggets, or maybe they didn't have them back then, you know, but something, olives. So anyway, Don't they eat olives over there? All right, so they'd say, well, look, one night I'm going to go to the temple of Aphrodite, and I'm going to do it with this girl, and then I'm going to get with a temple prostitute, and I'm going to do it with that girl. And they just thought that sex, because it was a natural physical desire, it was just like food. The Apostle Paul says, no, 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 no. Listen, food's for the body, but your body is for the Lord. And sexual sin, it is the only sin. Just like you're going to see, it's the only sin in another era. It is the only sin that you destroy your own body. You destroy your temple. Just like the natural or the physical temple. In Jewish history, Israel's enemies knew if they could ever demolish that temple, if they could burn that temple down, that was the moral strength and fiber of the country. If they could ever destroy the temple, it would demoralize Israel and they would be scattered. And in the same way, the enemy knows if he can get you through sexual sin to destroy your temple and tear away your soul, it will sap your strength. It will demoralize you. And you'll be wide open to any type of attack. That's why so many men have lost their strength. They've lost their fight. Because the enemy has come in and deceived us. God is to destroy our own temples, and we wonder why we don't have any vision. We wonder why we have so many guilt and regrets. So yes, we need oxygen, we need water, we need food, and we need sex. But if you don't have oxygen, what? You will die. If you don't have water, you will what? Die. If you don't have food, you will what? If you don't have sex, you will... No. Some guys were like, die, I'm going to die. You better give me a way out here. You will not die if you abstain from sex. You will not die if you don't have pornography. In fact, just the opposite. If you have sex outside of the confines of God's blessing, it brings destruction to your life. So you can read about in Proverbs, and this is especially to guys. It talks about the man that commits sexual immorality and destroys his own soul, and it likens sexual immorality and pornography to a house that you walk by. And it says that the men went in that house, and it says, many a strong man fell. Why? Because what does that sexual sin do? It plays to our competitive and conquering. It plays to that, but it's a seduction. It does the opposite. So the first thing that we have to understand is, look, just like the forbidden fruit that Eve was looking at, sexual sin, sexual temptation, it's played off a natural God-given desire. So here's what you need to understand. Guess what? Your sex drive is not going anywhere. In other words, I mean, Christians pray the stupidest things. I'm sorry. That didn't come out right. But you know, it's like people get fired up for God and they think, okay, well, somehow God's just going to take care of my sex drive. I'll desire sex less. Oh, no, you won't. You need sex. You need lots of sex. We're going to talk about that next weekend. Come on, guys, I'm going to help you out. Sex is the most powerful gift that you give someone, and if it is misused, oh, the consequences are terrible. Sex is so powerful. It not only joins the husband and the wife, spirit, body, and soul. Also, sex, see, the way God instituted sex, propitiation of the species, enjoying intimacy with one another. In fact, back in older times, one of the reasons I think why our sex drive is so strong is because our societies were agrarian. That means most of the families, the men would go out and farm and they'd go out and hunt. And I guarantee if they didn't have a powerful sex drive, they would have just stayed out there in the deer stand all week. But God puts that sex drive in there, so after a couple of days, be like, you need to get home, boy. You know what I'm saying? With a man, it's like a remote control. He's out there working, all of a sudden, beep, beep, beep. Let's go, let's call it a day. I'm hungry. Me want food. Me want woman. That's how some of you guys are at the end of the day, isn't it? You just, 5 o'clock comes, me want food. Me want woman. No. But it was created for that bonding agent of the family. We're going to look at that a little bit more next week. There's so many reasons why sex is so powerful. God created it for good. But listen, when sexual temptation comes, it taps in. This is one of the reasons why it's unlike any other. It taps in to that natural desire. But you've got to satisfy it in the way that God has ordained, or it will destroy you. So look at the next thing. So there's the lust of the flesh. The next thing, look what, so she saw that it was good for food, but then she also looked at it and it was pleasant to the eyes. The lust of the eyes. In other words, she's checking it out. It's like, man, this is going to satisfy me. This is going to make me feel good. And then we don't know what that fruit looked like, but it was very pleasing to the eyes. Another thing about the forbidden fruit of sexual temptation. Man, there are so many images or people or whatever. God has created us this way, especially men. Men are much more visual. There are so many images and they are pleasing to the eyes. They are sexually stimulating. It's another thing you have to understand. Just because you're a Christian, just because, guys, you love your wife, just because your wife is beautiful, she's the most beautiful woman that you've ever seen, just because your wife is so beautiful, that does not make every other woman and every other image and every other billboard and every other not sexually stimulating. Oh, I'm going to get in your business right now. Who are you talking to, bro? Who are you trying to fool? It's me up here. We all, in a woman, it doesn't matter. There are some, and it's different, but you are going to have things come across your view, and it is going to be pleasing to your eyes. You don't become a Christian, and all of a sudden, everybody's ugly. How would you think? You're going to get fired up for God and God's going to take your sex drive away and everybody's going to become ugly? Guys, and you're going to walk past the Victoria's Secret deal at the town center and just bust on up and just look at that woman in all of her glory and her bra thing. It's not even a bra anymore. Like, he's too thin. You're just going to be like, she's disgusting. Come on, man. Am I telling the truth, guys, or not? So this is what happened with, look, what did David do? Remember David? He went out on the roof. He should have never gone out there. But when he saw the woman in the bubble bath, this is a woman bathing in a bubble bath. David's looking at her, and the Bible says, and she was beautiful. You're like, duh. Of course David thought she was, it's a naked woman in a bubble bath. You know what I'm saying? This is what I'm trying to say for all that. You better realize, listen, everybody's susceptible. Don't think that you're holier than thou, and these things are natural. That you're the way that you're wired to attract to the opposite sex and images. The sex drive is natural. Parents, can I give you some encouragement here? Here's Eve, Adam and Eve, about to go into this sin, okay? You talk about two kids that came from a healthy household. God himself is their dad. And they're about to go into this, fall into this temptation. You want to know why? Because the tree of knowledge of good and evil was completely accessible. Completely affordable. It was free. And they probably thought they could stay totally anonymous. And that is what the difference is in today's society. You ask, you know, sexual counselors and people that have sex addictions and deviant behaviors 20, 30 years ago, most of the people that got involved in that stuff and anything just unhealth, all the stuff that's out there today, most of it, it would be, you know, it was a woman that got abused by all these men in her family, or it was this boy, and there was all this abuse going on in these real unhealthy families, and so somehow they ended up in this thing. That's not how it is today. How it is today, you have totally healthy kids from Christian backgrounds, totally healthy, totally normal, falling into the worst type of sexual sin, entrapment, deviant behavior, different types of things. Why? Because it's just totally accessible, totally affordable. It's free. And most of the time they can stay anonymous. Listen, just because you're a good parent and your kid, you have a good Christian home, your kids are not immune. If Adam and Eve were not immune and God was their father, he's a good provider. He gave them everything, and they still went after what was forbidden. So it taps it. There's the lust of the flesh. It's pleasing to the eye. And then the third thing, look what it says here. It says that she also saw that the tree, it was desirable to make one wise. The pride of life. The pride of life. In other words, she looked at this fruit. Man, boy, this is going to satisfy me. Wow, this looks good. I want some of this. It's very pleasing to the eye. But the third and final thing, and what I think is the catalyst most of the time, especially for young people, is just pure curiosity. In other words, I want to know what this experience is like. I wanna know what this, I've heard about this. I just want to know. I have a desire to know, desire to make one wise. I just want to experience this. Then I'll know. I won't go back. But I want to tap into it. I just want to see. It's the curiosity. And this is what makes sexual temptation so much more powerful than any other temptation, because it is the only temptation, like original sin here that we're looking at, it is the only temptation like original sin in which it taps into the power of all three lusts. Every other sin, there's only, it's either the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life. Sexual temptation is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. It is a threefold demonic cord. And Ecclesiastes says that a threefold cord is not easily broken. But I've got good news for you. There's somebody that can break it. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what type of thing that you're into or what type of thing that you've done, I'm telling you that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And when you understand that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that's all it takes. When God starts reigning on the inside and you start connecting your joy with His glory, now, all of a sudden, even though, oh man, that looks good. Oh man, that would be whatever. Oh, I'm curious about that thing. There's no way that you want to sacrifice that for the experience. See what Eve does here, the rest of the story. She goes and she eats. And yes, she experienced the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but you know what? She missed out on the tree of life. And what we're really all craving is life. And this is what the enemy does is, in fact, let me read you the scripture here. 1 John 2:15 through 17. Ah, I've got to hurry. Will y'all give me 5 more minutes? Okay. Okay, watch. Watch 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, this is talking about a philosophical world system. Porn is the system of the world. Sex sells. Porn, it's a porn storm. 1 John 2:16, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away. Everybody say passing away. And the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. That language there, passing away in the Greek, what it means is it's almost like it's a mirage. You know what happens when people have mirages? They see something and then they get to it. You know, you've heard about the guy out in the desert and he thinks he sees a lake and he comes up and he gets to it and it looks so good and then he tastes it and it's sand. Can you imagine what Eve was doing as she started to approach the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And I'm sure she's approaching. I'm sure it looked incredible. Its fruit just looked unbelievable. I bet her heart was racing. I bet she remembered about what God said. Eve, don't eat of it. You can have all the other trees. Don't eat of this tree. But as she got closer and closer and her heart raced faster and faster, that voice from God just kind of drifted away. And she took that fruit and she bit into it. And oh man, I bet right off the bat, it just for that second, it just seemed, oh, this is good. Oh, this is. And then probably after about 8 seconds, you know how long an orgasm lasts? About 8 seconds. After that as she bit in that fruit, all of a sudden, emptiness. You know what's real interesting? Right after she partakes of the fruit, you can read the rest of the verses there. Eve never says, man, that was so good. Eve never says, oh man, that fruit tasted good. Oh, it satisfied my desire. That's man, we disobeyed God, we're in trouble, but man, that really satisfied. She never says any of that. In fact, if you read the rest of the story, it talks about that they were in fear, they were in shame, they hid themselves from God. You know why? Because it's a mirage. You partake, man, maybe for 8 seconds, and immediately following that, there's not wisdom. There's not satisfaction. There's not bliss. You know what there is? There is fear. There is shame. There is guilt. There is regret. Man, the devil played them, man. And he's playing us. And here's Adam and Eve. What are they trying? They're trying to correct. Isn't that after you experience that? We experience that stuff. What's the first thing? We want to cover it. We wish it never happened. We want to stop. That's what Adam and Eve do. They put fig. They try to cover. They try to undo it. But they can't undo it. But you know God can undo it. So God goes searching them out. Aren't you glad we serve a good God? He goes searching them out. Of course God forgives them. Listen, this is not an issue of forgiveness, but it is an issue of freedom. God goes searching them out, and he's basically, you know, what have you done? Why? Here's what it comes down to. In the very beginning, God was like, look, will you trust me? Will you trust me that you are not missing out on anything by not eating of this tree? And it's the same question that we have today. When that temptation, the forbidden fruit of sexual immorality, when we see that, will we trust God? Will we trust God and say, God, I know I'm not missing out on anything. There is nothing in that forbidden fruit that is going to satisfy me. There is nothing in that forbidden fruit. There's not an experience that I'm missing out on. God, I trust you that is only going to bring me fear and shame and guilt and regret. And I don't know about you, but I've got enough pain and challenges in my life than to cause a whole bunch more stuff to come on me. Is anybody hearing me? out there. Listen, you can be free. It's a mirage. The devil has duped us. We can get to, yeah, Adam and Eve, they experienced the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It brought them nothing but shame. But they missed out on the tree of life. Listen, Jesus is all you need. If you get full of Jesus, I got some fruit for you. It's called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's called the living waters. You get full of Jesus. Listen, I know sex is important. We need to have lots of sex. I'm talking about that next weekend. But man, we've got to do it God's way, and it's got to be blessed by God or it will destroy us, and we're not missing out on anything. The next time the forbidden fruit of sexual immorality tempts you, I pray that you hear the voice of God. God's saying, will you trust me? Will you trust me? You're not missing out on anything except guilt, fear, and shame. I'm closing with this. Do you believe me? Mark 11, 22. Let me just close with this. Listen to this. Mark 11, 22. Jesus answered them and said, have faith in God. Everybody say faith in God. Amen. Have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. People use this verse to try to get things. This is not a verse to get things. You know what this is a verse for? This is a verse to get freed up from things. It says, you have faith in God, and then the mountain, for some of you, pornography, sexual sin, well, I'm getting it on with this person and we're not married and we're sharing this and I don't see any way out and it's so complicated and it's so hard and you just keep believing all the lies and you keep justifying it and watch your life never get any better. God says, you have faith in God. You say, God, I'm trusting you. I don't even know exactly how to get out of this mess, but I'm trusting you. And then you speak to that mountain of pornography and sexual immorality. And you say, be removed and cast into the sea. You believe in your heart and you don't doubt. And God will do it for you. You know why? Because your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. And he wants you to glorify him with his life. That's how those prayers get answered. That's how those prayers get answered. You don't use that verse to get a bigger house or a newer car or whatever. You use that verse to get freed up from sin so you can be a temple of the Holy Spirit and glorify God. What are we doing? We use all the prayer verses for the wrong thing. All right, I got to stop. Next week, we're going to talk about God's threefold cord. You've seen the enemy's threefold cord. Sexual temptation, only temptation. That it's not one of the three, it's all three combined. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Guess what? God has a threefold cord. And it's not what you think. And when you tap into that, you tap into some real power. Let's pray. Father, we come to you.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.